Blog Talk Radio.
Network and the cosmic philosopher. I'm Tim Aldred. Well, I'll summarize my thinking to be is I have a lot to learn. I want to learn as much as I can because it makes me a better person. I don't really need to worry about anybody, and nobody needs to worry about me. It's just that we who have come into the human world need to learn about this world? And what do we have to gain beside knowledge? It's all very, what supersedes knowledge? The fact that things have happened bad. All right, let's take the brighter side of the origin of humanity. I would say the brightest side of humanity is the actual creation of the hybrid human being. The actual creation. And you know, I begin to think about the beginning of the human as a whole. First of all, it is superseding to know how human being came about. All right, and I want to wish my visitor all that is good. Nice to see you. And welcome aboard. It is very easy, I find, based on my observation of the human world as I come to know it, the brain that we have easily picks up a lot of uncertified, you know, and things that pertain to believing and having faith in. It is, you know, most people have become a victim of foolishness. And the thing about when nonsense fill your brain, you really are not aware of it. You think that is the real knowledge that you should have in the first place. There's no need to look for anything else, which is a deception. So, because the world is full of people, even though they have university education, college education, high school education, and, you know, I mean, some education. Since we stepped from the BC era into the AD Anno Domini, forget it. All lights are out when it comes to the brain. It's just alarming to me. Alarming to me because I started out with Christian parents. And I wanted to be a part of the church because the fact is I didn't see anything else in my surrounding. I saw a few churches in my area where I, you know, I see trees and some mountains and the fact is I was a child that was easily controlled, and especially that, you know, I just easily conformed to the church way. Yeah. And my parents were not educated people. But they were sensible people as far as I think sensible in that context is. They didn't have like college or university education. So if you understand what I mean, the common sense that I grew up to know and see people behaving, I don't have a bad report about them at all, right? So what I'm saying is about what I remember of myself. And, you know, I grew up until I go to primary school and, you know, Jamaica is a UK, I mean, slavery place, you know, where they bring us in, bad luck. Africa sold us out to these people. And, you know, it's just nowadays I'm beginning to think about that. You know, that Africa, I'm wondering now, so who are these Africans who sold us in ship? So anyway, my focus is about human origin, you know, how we come about. And I'm saying how it is, look at me. I'm talking about the way our brain can be filled with a whole bunch of nonsense. And basically, that's all I grew up with is non-church nonsense. Because everything about church is something you believe, you see? And if you don't know that believing in church stuff is lethal, let me tell you about it. But I didn't think so. I mean, how long it took me to find that out? That was from age 7 till I was over my, you know, over my 60th birthday. Yes, in my 60s. That's when certain consciousness come into my mind. However, though, I have to tell you about my brain, right? And what I was capable of thinking or doing through the age 7 till I am over 60. What was my brain able to do? Well, I'll let you know that you know, I have a hard time to read. And I now know back then there was not the facility. Jamaica was not the type of country that was, you know, have advanced accommodation and let's say the handling of, you know, the people. And we who are just let out from physical slavery, we have, you know, people of slavery who are going to become like prime minister of the British order and all that. So we didn't have anything going our way. Could you see anything? Can you see anything going our way under that condition? All right. But the thing is, I am just realizing now, beyond those years, now that I'm old, I'm looking back on the whole thing and realize that, I mean, no way. We weren't going anywhere. You see? So all the prime ministers that we have had, say, since the 60s, these are all people who are bred in the after post-slavery. We didn't have anybody that was going to, you know, brush us off and give us a little history and bring us back to some civility. No, we are left there to smother into the climate of slavery. I ain't fooling you. Okay? And when I tell somebody now about the church and what I have actually read, well, you know, it is hard for people who don't go through my experience to even see any sense in what I'm saying. If I say, Adam and Eve in the garden, where'd that come from? Is it history or a Bible? you got to say a Bible, because that's all we know. That's what we get from the British people. Who are the British people? Well, you know, that's another thing, right? I can't touch that right now, but they were the slave people who kill us off and work us to nothing. You know what I mean? All right. But what I'm trying to tell you, our human existence is as such, is a big story. And when you don't know enough of this story, you can be very, very, you can be mentally dysfunctional. When you don't know enough of the human story, you've got to be disoriented, because it's the knowledge of it that will bring us to some sense of, you know, let's say, our existence, you see. All right. So my life has been one without education, right? I'm telling the truth about that. I read fourth grade level from I went to primary school, and we get out of school at age 16, okay, and you'd go on to like a higher level school. Okay. But I wasn't able to go on to anything because I was there stuck in the mud mentally when it comes to, say, have the necessary education to move on further. I ain't going anywhere because I don't know anything. Fourth grade level read, okay? All right. So it is all the church. And before I migrate from Jamaica at age 27, what was my level of reading that time is still fourth grade level. All right. But I was well behaved. I am, you know, a controlled lad. My parents had no problem with me. And I, you know, I used the best of my common sense and stuff like nobody know anything but about me. So when I migrated from Jamaica to America, I decided, you know what? Based on what I have heard about America, I think I'll get a better chance at learning to read much better, or at least a little better than what I was reading, if I was able to take in more than just a little. That would be, you know, very nice. But I wasn't looking forward to think much beyond a little more. Anyway, I came. And it was priority for me. I just felt the need to read better because I think, you know, I'll be like somebody more useful. That's what I thought. So I didn't want to jump into anything else except get into an adult school and learn to read a little more. My brain was in bad shape. I needed a lot of help, and there was nobody around to give that help, right? So I'm being me. I don't think I'm going to know anything, right? Because how am I going to know anything unless I dream of it? Anyway, I graduate from the adult school, right? So I am pleased because I didn't thought I would have read at the level when I graduate at the high school. I really did not think, because I think my head, my brain, it don't work all that well, and I'm not, you know, without help, you know, I didn't get any special help at the adult school, except for they route me to go on a little further in reading than what I was exposed to in Jamaica. Having a hard time, made a few tries with private people, but, you know, they didn't do anything to move me from where I was. So I stayed confused, right? So here in America, I get a better better approach. The mere approach was different. And I was able to start from where I was, okay? So it turns out that I am a little bit better than what I think of myself. As if you try, then you will find out. But if you don't try, then you stay same place. I didn't stay same place. And so when I get out of the adult high school, I went on, and immediately my life was changed. But I didn't have any real objective on what to do with it besides just go on being me, right? All right. Now, church is always on my mind. But the church up to that point, before I left Jamaica, I realized that the church was not useful to me. That's what I started to think. And look, you don't want anybody more, you know, more feeling good about the church than me, right? And I consider to myself about what the church really is doing for me that, you know, I'm excited about. And there was nothing. The people I know and let's say fellowship with, they were of no use to me. Nobody wasn't telling me anything to enlighten me. It's a no-go. And therefore, when I came to America now, I wanted to rekindle my interest in the church. I take up to a church now where I go and like be a member again, active member. And I, you know, I fool around with guitar and from when I was younger. And so I decided to like, you know, like get me a guitar and a amplifier and begin to like do what I can do, the foolishness I can do in the church. And all right, so I began to do something like that. And then I realized that, you know what? I'm rusty. I want a lot more Bible knowledge. So I get into reading the Bible in a very, very serious kind of way. Because you know what? I wanted to feel good about my life. So I wanted the highest kind of knowledge I can get. So I go to work, and once we get a little like 15 minutes break or so, I go on straight to my car and get the Bible. I start to do whatever reading I can do. And I was into the prophecies like Isaiah, Jeremiah, you know, and Psalms and Proverbs, those kind of a scripture. And I did learn one thing better during that time, is that prior to that, growing up in church, we go to Sunday school and we go to general, you know, teaching on Sundays. All right. Now, I didn't know no particular way to, you know, the context in which I should approach the Bible. They say, well, then, what you are to do when you read the Bible, just open it up. Open up the Bible to anywhere and start to read that anywhere, okay? And you should be okay. So don't bother with all of that type of a thing, because you only need to be led of the Spirit. Open up the Bible and you will get an inspiration. Anywhere you read, the Spirit is going to take you to the exact place in the Bible that you want. That's all I knew. But when I devoted to read the Bible in with a different approach, I realized that, okay, I knew a little about the Old Covenant and the New Covenant, and that the old covenant is being fulfilled by the New Testament, and the New Testament is called a covenant, and the Old Testament is called an Old Covenant, right? So now I am reading and I am understanding more than I did, because I realize now that I must approach the Bible in the way that the whole Testament gives me understanding about the earliest time in the world, okay? And all the things that happen in the world before is based on how God created Adam and Eve in the garden, okay? So now I am finding out about the difference between the two covenants. And so now I understand when I'm reading the prophecies, you know, or, you know, the creation in Genesis and Numbers, Deuteronomy, come right on down to the last Old Testament, the last Old Testament book, Old Testament, what ended the Old Testament. And let me see if I can remember now the Old Testament ended right here. It ended with Malachi, right? Start with Genesis and end with Malachi, right? And then the New Testament or New Covenant begins with Matthew to Revelation. So now I understand that the things that happened in the context of the things that God was doing to redeem the fallen people and make preparation to unite those of us who have been fallen, right? So that's what I learned by reading the Bible at that time in my life, that I must consider that old covenant. And I look up the definition for covenant, you see. Old covenant and New Testament covenant are two different covenants, but they work together, you see. So we got to understand the era of the Old Testament and the era of the New Testament. And the New Testament fulfill, let's say, those things that are written as a prophecy that come a time to the New Testament. That's when the Messiah come into the world, that the Messiah is going to fulfill those things and turn our darkness into light. Okay? That is my state of mind in this period. So I take those prophecy very, very serious back in my believing time. I ain't no believer anymore. I'm going to just tell you that right up, because being a church believer is never a good, don't make nobody a good person. You may assume that you're a good person, but the word believe should never be used in church. What should be used in church with every good intention is knowledge. Because in our lives, every day we go and, you know, we work, right? We have a job and stuff like that, whichever kind of job, whether it's your work or some you're employed by somebody. You go out with you go out with an intent to do the best you can, right? So the Bible now, when it comes to, I am looking forward to the full the prophecies in the Old Testament. Now it's knowledge. What I'm going to understand about the Old Testament or covenant, it's a knowledge thing. So they don't tell us about knowledge like they tell us about belief. They don't use knowledge as a means of getting you into the church. They use belief to get into the church. Now, looking back in hindsight, and all of my reading of the Bible and the maturity that I come to understand the way what I should be thinking about the world around me and myself. And then I found out that belief doesn't make you know anything. You assume something. And let's say if you're convinced that the thing is true, but you don't see no object of what you're thinking. And they use that as the primary way of getting you into the church. The entire story of the Old Testament that now turns into the New Testament is telling us about Adam and Eve in a garden, right? Who is writing the Old Testament? We do not know, right? Everything is assumed. Everything in the Old Testament is believed. We do not have any, like in a world history textbook, you have academic consultants and teacher reviewers to tell you that you're reading history, right? But when the Bible that we devoted ourselves to, or devote ourselves to, it is about believing something you will never be able to see, feel, or anything. We must believe the story about Adam and Eve, and if we knew better, we would read it and understand it and get knowledge before we accept to believe it. But we don't do that. We're not mature enough to do that in our slavery mentality. Do we do that? So clearly, that's where I was. I'm evaluating what happened to me and what happened to other people as I know it. We never get into the church through a specific piece of knowledge, and therefore we are all believing drunkies, psychological drunkies, and we can't get anywhere in life except go to have a job, or you go work or something like that. But considering the world around us, there is the earth and there is the sky above us, what do we understand about that? No, everything is based upon what you suppose it is, but no knowledge is in there. And therefore, that how my Christian life went and to where I am at today, I'll just like give you a little preface of what it is and move on. Take up a strong position and seriously the church. But now, this time, I'm reading and I'm paying attention to what I read. So, the church that I was, trying to make, some little kind of melody, to make, music on the guitar and stuff like that. It seemed like people were enjoying my thing, because I didn't strum guitar too much. I like tried to say something with the string. So anyway, I I get a little fatigued with the way the church is operating, right? So what I did, I approached the pastor, and the pastor is ruled over by two overseers, right? I guess a senior and another one. So the pastor met with me one day, and I brought to him my grievance that, you know what, I see things not going on right in the church, you know, the kind of stuff we are doing. So when I present to him what I disapprove of, he didn't, you know what? Well, he did me some good because he tell me some facts about the church itself, right? He said to me that, well, you know, a lot of people are raising up church out of their briefcase, you know, like nowadays. You see what I mean? I mean, that's what the church is like. And that, he said this too, that aside the teachings of the apostles long time ago, they're not living by it. You see? All right. So I said, all right, so what are you going to do about this? And he said, well, you know, I can't do anything. No, I'm telling you what is true, and my memory serves me right, okay? He said, he can't do anything about it. I will have to wait until the overseer comes over and is in England, named Dunn. And this was a Pentecost church. And he says, wait until he comes, you present, you know, your grievance to him. All right. So that's how much I gain from going to talk to the pastor. I didn't stay around there and make no fuss, no contention or not like that. I do it the way I thought, you know, was right, respectful. So the day came when the overseer came. And I went into the service. That it was a Thursday night, I remember. And so I get an opportunity to tell the pastor my grievance. So I stood up and I said to the reverend, I said, what is the distinction between the old and new covenant? He replied to me and said, do you believe in tithe? Oh, that was funny. You know, so I told him, I remind him, I said, look, you asked me to tell you what is on my mind. And I have told you what, you know, are you going to answer to what I tell you? You know, because he's asking me about if I believe in tithes, and I'm asking him about the two covenants in the Bible, or Testament. What is the difference? Because I want him to tell me the basic distinction of what the Old Testament use is for. Is it to just believe everything it says and without having any real purpose the New Testament represents, because it's supposed to fulfill the old covenant, the Old Testament. So he would not cooperate with me. He would not cooperate with me. So I said to him, look, I'm not asking you about your doctrine. I am asking you about the truth in the Bible. And you know what he did? He began to sing and close down the service. So before I did answer, when he permitted me to speak and say what is on my mind, I remember now that I was hesitant to bring out what I have on my mind, because you have, you know, a lot of people in the church that, you know that he's here. And I think what I had to say was better handled outside of their presence, because, you know, a lot of people might just get confused and stuff like that by what I'm going to say. So I tried to reach out to this pastor, not the pastor, but the visiting overseer. And because I'm peaceful, you know, I'm not rude. I want it to be done like in the nice way. So he said, I asked him, could you let us talk about this when you're done, you know, after the service? He said to me, I am asking for too much of a big thing. That's what he said to me, you know. And by that, he adjourned the service, and that was it. And people were not happy about it and all that. But it wound up with me leaving the church. But before I did leave, you know, he went away and he came back, and I went to speak to him. And it didn't, I asked him about, I asked him something, and he said to me, did I apologize to the people in the church? I remind him what happened, and then he wasn't interested to talk to me no more. Another sister came up, wanted to communicate with him, and then he didn't like politely say anything and break off with me. He still had me standing there, and he started talking to this sister. And eventually, they both of them walk away, leaving me there. So I was following, like, you know, I hope that he's going to, like, you know, still come back and say something to me. So I'm following, and we are coming from the sanctuary section, coming from the what they call the podium then, right? And there is a door as we step down. And off to the left, we're going to go through this door and go to the back office or something like that. And he saw me coming behind them. And when we get to that door, just 1 second.
Wait a minute. Okay. Just a second. Okay, understand. So what about the 27th? Is something wrong with that? Okay, so you want... Okay, October. So what, you want to schedule me for when? At 31st. At 11:30. Okay. Yes. All right, thank you. Yes. 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 Thanks.
Okay, I apologize for that distraction. All right. So now I'm telling you now that things did not go well with the pastor, because me following him with this other sister going through the door, and he found out that I'm coming, and he turned and hold the door and swung it, as it were, like he meant to like hurt me. You see, because that pressure that he put, it was not like just merely trying to say, well, and look, I mean, you know, I talk to you some other time or something like that. Oh no, he is in a rage. That guy is full of demons. No joke about that. So just to think about the way the church lead people to believe everything that people don't remember that they are able to read for themselves and understand things for themselves. This is the way they run the church, based on believing. So though they talk about knowledge in the Bible and sometimes talk about knowledge, but it is out of context. Nobody in the church preaches from a knowledge point of view. And what they call knowledge is basically anything that they feel they want to say. It doesn't have where you a proper routing and follow a context or nothing like that, or relate to the distinction of Old Testament, New Testament. That is not in the church. People say whatever they want any given day. All right? So it's a whole bunch of foolishness. And I can see the way I grew up, and what I wanted to do, what I would appreciate that somebody do or say something for me to understand life. And when it comes to the church and the spiritual side of life, understand it to where every day you have, let's say, a guide. You see what I mean? So that was how my life went in the latter part of my Christianity. Now, I went off and go around some other churches, and I got arrested at churches and all those kind of stuff. The long and the short of it comes to where I began to take seriously what the Bible is saying from Genesis to Revelation. And I realized that the Bible was a darn, the worst book. And when I say that, a lot of people is not going to accept that. I am reading, right? I went to school and a law paralegal college for about 3 months, right? I spend money to go to school and learn some legal principles. So yes, I know some principle. It's not just about just doing legal work, but legal principles assist a person with daily life, if you know, right? A lot of people look for a lawyer to do this and to do that, but if you had certain legal knowledge, you would take care of a lot of things yourself. All right, now, the usage of words is another critical thing that is important for a person who read. And know what you're reading is very important. The church doesn't give us that type of a way to live. You must use your head and use the words, because words are used by people to fulfill the same, you know, control over life, right? And believing that don't help that. You look at the definitions for believe. It's a verbal. It's an action word. When you believe into something, you don't believe in all day long. The act, you begin like a covenant with something. You make a covenant you agree with this. It's you start believing from that point. So it's like you take out a license for something. Okay? You know, take out the license every day. You do it one time. Like today at 11:30, you get this license to do something. And then you go on using the license. Well, that's the way it is when it comes to anything that we store in our brain. It has to be an act at a certain time. And then you become, right, a believer and all that. So the thing is, I began to take seriously words that I read. And it boils down to, I begin to see things in the Bible that just don't exist, and I believe it. Now, in that period of my life, what happened? When I see things that, when you talk about like creation story, Adam and Eve in the Bible, it turns out that Adam and Eve in the Bible story is taught to us like it is God tell Moses those things, how he create things. No, they write just anything in the Bible because they know that African people turned fool long time, 100,000 years ago. Something happened in our lives where the talking serpent and all those things come in. Those things are put in there, and there are codes, and we don't know. So my life really ended up with me not being a Christian because I can't. And it was all I knew. But there are too many lies about wise men. When I read like wise men follow a star, and for the first time I'm reading Matthew 2, the first time I had to like say, what? I've been reading that scripture just about all of my life, and I didn't see these things in there like I do now, because I'm noticing details now and things like that, and find out, no, that God, and who were Jews at that time, like 2,000 years ago, you know, where they began the Bible from, like about, you say about 2,000 years ago, they come with the Bible, or 1,700 years. But when I see the things that I'm reading, of God make heaven and earth in 6 days and rest on the seventh day, those things, if you're reading and stop believing the nonsense, it is not going to be the same experience. Because now you are reading and following what the thing is telling you and see, you know, where it come from, what it is now. And when it says God, who is supposed to be on the side of the Jewish people back that time, in that chapter of Matthew 2, God overthrew his own people because he stopped the star at Herod and caused the wise men to go in there and talk to Herod, not the Jewish people. The Jewish people are supposed to be the African people, right? And who are Gentiles? White people them, European people them, are Gentiles. 2,000 years, you read the Bible and you will see that. Now, the people who they chase out of Palestine, the African people, are no more Jews. It is the European people them take on Jewish name now. AD 70, they destroy the temple, I think the Solomon's temple, and take over the place, and African people are kicked out. The amount of African rulers that European kicked out, it's a lot of them, and Europe kill them, like in Gaddafi, right? Obama and Hillary go and kill off Gaddafi, right? They go to Iraq again. Is an African country, and these Europeans go there and kill Saddam. Saddam is hybrid African, who they call black people. But we are not black people. You know what? The history, the record, don't call us black people. They are a reference to us being black-headed people, but not like, you know, all of our image is black people. Now, so what I'm saying, why I stopped being a Christian is not that anybody influenced me, but it is my reading knowledge that brought me out. I'm reading all these confusing stuff. And when you talk about Jesus, begotten son of his father, now God is a spirit. And some place in the Bible, it tells you that you can't see God. And other places, it's telling that people see him and eat with him and everything like that. So it's a whole bunch of garbage that me coming to the realization of what makes sense would not allow me to look at the Bible like it is telling us about a real creation of Adam and Eve in a garden. But what I'm trying to say to you is that they use our history to say it's God who is sending revelation to Moses, and it was never anything true. It still is no truth whatsoever. You can believe anything. You know what I mean? All you need to do is just don't pay attention and not interested in what is true. It is our history that the European use to write the Bible, and about Adam and Eve in a garden, and don't eat the fruit, eat those fruit over there, but this one in the middle of the garden. You know, what they're talking is all codes that has nothing to do with the truth that we are to know. So basically, that's how my life. So today, I am here, and sometimes the things that I must say and tell people, you know, the things that I'm saying are the things that I am saying now are from the best of my intellect that I first use for myself. Because if I don't use it on myself, I mean, I cannot in any kind of way help anybody else. So it is the purest thing I know, and it's hard for people to like look into what I say. Because look, there are quite a few years that I have, you know, if I am working, I am thinking. I am reading the Bible and I'm trying to understand things until I discover now it is the Bible itself that is a book of lies. The Bible. And the idea that Jesus died for sin, it is the biggest lie, because how do you get a Hebrew man 2,000 years ago in Palestine to become a European white man 2,000 years later today, who they have as Jesus, is the what you call one of the Pope's son. They have as Jesus. And they don't even want to use the name of the Hebrew man, Yeshua, or whatever they call him from back in that time. That man, if you read the prophecy, nothing in the Isaiah 9, 6 and 7 prophecy says the Messiah Jesus would be arrested and that he would be put into prison, and that he would be crucified and raised up from the dead. Nothing in any prophecy say that. So I ask people now, show me in the New Testament where the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled. And I have a cousin, he is a preacher, and I ask him to show me that. And you know what? he failed to show it to me. And it's just that I don't want to break up the relationship, because it is very easy for people to walk away from you if, when you talk, you know, defamatory about Jesus, you know, and say like Jesus never exists. Jesus really never existed. No Jesus ever came into this world. I mean, you say, if Jesus is a begotten son of God, God is a spirit. Those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. I read the Proverbs very well that speak about God when he was alone, especially Proverbs 8. And read that very much. And I come to find out a lot of lies, because there is no God that ever begot a son. The God is a spirit, and that spirit begot a son. How do you get a spirit to be a male? You know, a lot of these things. All right. And how did God begot the son? In what way? What's the means? Show a possibility. You're going to say, well, God can do anything. No, that's not true. To say that God can do anything as a perfect God, it means that you're an idiot. Because for perfection, don't deal with foolishness. Perfection is, look, it's the best, reliable, and everything that is sure, certain. So how God is going to get up and begin to do all these bunch of foolishness? You know, Jesus say to his father, St. John 17, 1 through 5, you think about this one. Jesus prayed to his father after he called the disciples and teach and set up the church with the disciples, right? And then Jesus is praying to the father now and said, Father, you know, glorify thy son, that thy son may glorify thee. You know, I have finished the work that you gave me to do, right? I want you to glorify me now with the glory that I have with you before the foundation of the world. He finished the work that he gave him to do. Now, you know what? I am sensitive to words. When you say finish, I take it for real. Jesus said he finished the work that the Father gave him to do. Glorify him now, right? Like he glorified him before the world was. Now, what happened after that? A cross-reference collided with St. Paul. Because as soon as I say, wait a minute now, he's saying that he finished the work. Well, he already called the 12 apostles and taught them, set up the church, and ready to go back to heaven. So how did St. Paul come to be converted after Christ went back to heaven when he already said he finished the work? And I want to tell you, there's more added to this that, you know, fuel the fire. Is that St. Paul, it is that the work that Christ told St. Paul he wanted him to do, that is something that he should have taught the 12 disciples. So Jesus forget that he was going to send this St. Paul to the Gentiles now, to bring in the Gentiles. So when you see the white people them begin to like set up church and stuff like that, they are onto the Bible that they wrote. So you see them now take over Abraham, and they are the seed of Abraham and everything. What we were, they became, and push us out to who they were. That's what the church is. That's what Christianity is. So the amount of things that I read and find out in the Bible, the treasured belief that we have, I come to find out they're fallacy in the first degree, 100%. So Christianity is a fallacy. And who created it? You can read in the World History textbook that these Europeans are the ones responsible for Christianity. And they invented every single thing about Genesis creation story. They invented the prophecies. They invented the New Testament that quies with the prophecies of Isaiah. That it's like those two verses in Isaiah. In Isaiah 9, 6, and 7, they are like a prescription. Jesus is going to do X, Y, Z. Unto us a child is born, a son is given. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Right? Those must be fulfilled. You look in the New Testament and tell me where you find it. None of that. They write something completely different to what the prophecy and as far as I know, the prophet Isaiah in the Old Testament is the only prophet I recall seeing write that prescription that tells exactly what the Messiah Christ would do. I mean, the Bible don't call no those names, but of course, that's in Christianity. That's what we know. It's speaking about Jesus, and we assume it is so. Right? So all these old bunch of stuff there to be cleaned up and for us to realize, hey, we're reading foolishness. Right? Because they're writing that, you know, Adam and Eve sinned and God cursed them, and for God so loved the world, St. John 3:16, that he gave his only begotten son. Those things are not even ashes. They're vapor. Somebody's talking and nothing is coming out, you know, as tangible and intangible valuables. Nothing whatsoever. I was not about giving up my belief at all, because my entire life was based upon Jesus' return. Jesus never come the first time, and if he come the first time, prove it in the Bible. There was no such a thing. But these white people know why they run the risk and write a Bible like that. They have no right to be writing Bible about us, right? Because we have the history there that tells us something completely different than what they have in the Bible, telling us about God and Abraham, those things that they have. It's not true. It's you know, that bitter stuff. It is not true. And the more you read and understand the Bible, is the more it is understood to be not a book drafted with good intention. These European people, they have reason to write the Bible. Reason that if we know history, you know what? You don't put your foot back through a church door. Now, the last thing I'm going to say to nail down this point is that get this up, and it is concerning. It is concerning the controversy that is in the Bible and these between African hybrid people. In the Bible, it doesn't even agree that we are hybrid people. And we are the first hybrid by the God's blood mix with species sapiens. We come from a human sapien that is earthly, and the God used sapien blood and their blood to make us talk and be intelligent. We are the first, and they wrote the Bible and leave out the fact that we are, even though they write Elohim is in the world history. White people are not in history as civilized people. They don't belong to us, and when they are
all over us, there is a history that tells us exactly what happened between them and us as we left Africa 100,000 years ago. We today, we don't have any sense. We're not ruling ourselves. Africa sell us out to these people. So that means a whole bunch of mental problem is going on with the African people. We don't rule a government anymore. Kingship is the government. These guys take it over and say, hey, the Anadamani and Christmas and all this kind of stuff. You see, so the thing is, how can we reconcile believing to knowledge? It don't work, right? So what I'm saying, there is no way that what we grow up with and are taught, there is just no way that it is going to resolve to anything positive. Because when people are, let's say, brainwashed, and that brainwashing is all we know, like in my case, that's all I knew, and it's reading that caused me to see the controversy and know that it's nonsense. So is basically things that I have to tell people that these controversy can't exist, and we believe it. Because why? I mean, the brain is, you know, we were created to follow righteousness. And righteousness is in the BC era, where civilization come from. These white people, they are not civilized. They're not supposed to be doing anything where we are concerned. They're not supposed to be in our way. We haven't gone into their way. And they are making us now to think that they are civilized and we are not. That's what they're working on. And they are, we, because we are believers, they just like you see they're ruling now, is because we turn believers. 200,000 years ago, we developed in Africa. And 100,000 years ago, some of us were leaving Africa to come to the Western world and different parts of the world. And it is at that time that something wrong happened with these primates, hominid species, Europeans. They left Africa 1.5 million years and go up into Europe. And from thence, it's like they disappear. It's like, hardly anybody know what happened to them. So it's only when you read and find out, you will realize that there is something. There is a connection between us people, hybrid, what you call us, ethnic people. There is something between them and us that we don't know. And they use the Bible to smother the whole thing. So I want to thank you for tuning into the program, and I know that people who have a sincerity within themselves, they know when something makes sense, and you have to use your own sense, because I am not here trying to convert anybody. And when I say that, not trying to convert anybody, really, really, I know that the truth, if I am serious about the truth and I'm living by what I'm saying, I expect it to help other people, because it is a serious thing. It is a bad experience that we are going through with the white people. And they're not supposed, AD and Adamani is what, and Christmas and stuff like that. It's, you know, it is something, it's a curse. It's a curse on people here. So, therefore, I have to tell people. And I am open up to people telling me what kind of knowledge they have. Don't tell me about your belief, because belief don't weigh nothing in the scale. Okay? And faith don't weigh nothing in the scale until you have knowledge. First, knowledge first. You don't know anything saving knowledge. When you go to school, they don't give you a class to teach you how to believe anything. So we need to, like, fix ourselves now. It's not for us. That is clear. Okay? And if we don't stop support church, these white people will never leave us alone. You see, about 400 years now, and they're talking about constitution, constitution. They don't have no constitution for us. And if we are blunt, serious about this, they'll fly and go back to Europe. You see what I mean? Because we just need the truth. We need the knowledge truth. But not believing in these Jesus washing at the saints' feet and stuff like that. These things are serious, serious. I mean, lethal things that we are doing with our brain. And we're not going to come off to anything like that, following their Jesus church and stuff like that. I make up my mind that words are going to dictate to me what is right from wrong. It's not believing in anything, right? So as long as I say that, I don't ask anybody to come with me to nowhere at all. I don't have anywhere to carry nobody. What I have is my experience. And I am certain, as long as nobody is mature enough then to step up and say, Tim, this is where you're wrong at. Which means you're restricted from using the illegal word or using the word illegally. The word believe. What you believe in, you can't tell nothing about it. Jesus, I'm going to come back. That don't take you anywhere. So, my friends, I want to thank you for tuning into this program today. I am going to go on a little, and before I go on, I think let's get a little tune. And Mariah Carey, Hero. I think this is a very nice tune. You're going to hear it right now.
The strength to carry on, and you.
All right. I hope that was a nice suit. I love that tune, Hero, right? Be a good hero and maybe, you know, yourself, the hero for you. All right. Now, let's go on to the leading title here, Europe, Modern Cro-Magnon, followed, pursued, killed, forced subjugation, us. That's what happened when I mentioned about 100,000 years ago. It's history, my friend. I mean, when you're reading stuff in the Bible and you believe it, the Bible is not to be believed because it has no academic certification, that not even Billy Graham certified that anything in the Bible is true. So, you know, we take it serious because that's all we knew. All right, let's go on to hear some of what these, if you don't understand what Cro-Magnon is, modern people. And I am pretty sure that many of our ethnic, how we call African people, the white people are African people because that's where they develop from. The way things are moving about in this time is like, we don't consider white people to be African as well, but they migrated first from Africa and go into Europe and Asia and I think some other surrounding area. And therefore we know that they are African as well, but put into a different context now. People more refer to us African, they call us black people. We are not black people, but this is the way things just flow down the stream under AD, under Domini, Christmas, Santa Claus time, okay? All right. So now, bad things have been happening to the world, and nobody can stop it unless serious awakening in the hybrid ethnic people. There got to be a serious awakening of knowledge to stop the Bible believing foolishness. All right, this is what happened. Followed, pursued, killed. That's what they do to us, not us to them. Forced subjugation into most horrible, pitiful social condition. That's what happened to us until now. That was never given to our anatomic brand of hybrid ethnic people. That was not the fate, right? That is there's another word. When things happen to you, is the greatest. You can't slip your fate, but you can slip some other things. I forgot what the other word is. Yes. So now, given to our anatomic brand of hybrid ethnic people, right? What happened to us is not for us, you know, it's not our fate. So that means that we're stumbling, something gone wrong. First, civilized people to be on earth. That's us. The primates, human, have evolved 3.5 million years ago. These white people that we see here, their ancestors. in South Africa. Like I told you, they develop in South Africa, right? Southern apes, right? So they have not been talking. They're mute, okay? You're talking about for almost 4 million years. They don't have speech. Their ancestors died out and leave them Homo erectus. And this is something kind of new to me because nobody ever read this or tell me this. I'm reading it in the World History textbook. And because I know the value of World History textbook, that's the reason why, you know, it really gives me knowledge to sustain, you know, what my brain is looking for. Because all the other things I hear people talking about, I go to the World History textbook, I realize that, you know, the World History textbook is world-renowned government record of long, long antiquity gone by. So I see, like, for example, they say that the white people, they say all kind of thing, whatever they want, because they are changing our world, right, to be their world. And if we don't read and find out the things they do, then we don't come off to anything. And they morph us out and morph themselves in. And it's the reason why the world is, turning over on its head. You know, a lot of mental confusion of things we don't know. So I'm telling you, though, that they don't come from a talking species. Their species don't talk for, like, almost, you know, 4 million years. Right? So when you see white people here now, you need to ask the question. How are they talking? How do they look like humans? Because they didn't. So now, whatever happened is absolutely something astonishing that, you know, I mean, it takes people with a special kind of attitude, a brain then, to understand what has happened to us. Why we have a Bible talking about talking serpent? There is no talking serpent. Okay? The talking serpent is the white people who come from a species. The species name is hominid. Right? They are primates. They come from monkey, and they are dangerous to us because they have rhesus monkey blood inside of them. When they begin to, like, intrude upon our ancestors as they were leaving Africa and coming out to outer world, they distribute their insulin in our blood, and it's the reason why our brain is damaged. We are not who we were 200,000 years ago. We have government to run, and see, we're not running government. How could Africa, run and abdicate the kingship government? When you read about the Indians in America, you read and see they are on the kingship government. Where it turns? No, it run gone. Because once Africa dropped responsibility of kingship throughout the world, where, you know, in history, they gave us the right, because we are first civilized people, whether or not you take it. But that's what history is. And I'll tell you what, ain't no white people kind of a AD and a Damani power can knock down what I'm saying. Because the reason why I'm saying it is because I happen to come up at a time when these things are likely to come my way because of my attitude and, you know, what I just easily stand for, right? So I come up on these things and I see them and I begin to start talking about them. I mean, you know, if I were like other, you know, other people were talking a lot of stuff that not making any sense. You know, like they kill a lot of us. Well, you know what? I don't look forward to anybody killing me. You see? But I am talking stuff that you probably don't really hear anybody else talk about. Right? And when I read these things, it was like they startled me. But I am a logical person. I'm going to stand up to it. I will have to like dump the church and the foolishness that is not doing me any good and go to where my mind identify with what makes sense, with everything I look around and know relevant. And nobody is able to strike me down. So my brain is at ease with what I am saying, because it's in the world, it's the textbook, it's not into the Bible that they're talking about. You see what I mean? A whole bunch of muck is in the Bible that I have ready with anybody who wants to face me. They will be gone in no time, right? Because it's explosive stuff in the Bible that we have not raised any objection to with these sodomite white people and about them of church and stuff like that and government. AD and Adamani is no government whatsoever. So let's get back now to what I'm telling you about them. They don't want us put the frying pan on for them because they're crispy. You see what I mean? So all these things I'm telling you, how could you, you know, how could they be a species that don't talk for 3.5 million years? They only make stone tools. I mean, come on, this stuff are into the world. It's a textbook here. To totally obliterate these people who talk about they're white and they have to, everywhere that we come and settle down, they come and take over. I can't feel anywhere positive about what they do. Everywhere we go, they follow us, they pursue and kill us and take us and now come talk about AD and Adamani. You see what I mean? And we not under no government. A them we under. You imagine that? We under them. And only if we knew the truth, because the truth is legal anywhere, everywhere. And anytime you can contradict somebody and knock them out of the way with the word, they are over with, right? So now, these are what I'm telling you is from the World History textbook, Glencoe World History, Spilvogel, National Geographic. That's where I am talking from, because poor me, I wouldn't be able to like, I wouldn't want to talk of any foolishness. Or even the Bible now, because I know that the Bible is not certified, then I know to take certain things with a grain of salt. But I know that creation story is that. It's a linguistic thing to just totally, drive that to, you know, out into the abyss. There is no truth in there, in the Garden of Eden story in the Bible. All right. It's a history. It comes from extracting from our history and make up the Bible story, which they don't expect us to come to a point where our head will heal and we will know those things in the Bible are not true. The white people don't expect us, because they have proven, you know, over the past 100,000 years that they could set up church, they could make a Bible and say anything about us. They take on our character. They do everything. And we have not pushed back on them with nothing. Africa don't say nothing. Africa will never say nothing. I don't expect Africa to say nothing. So we are here wandering in the world because what? Of the interbreeding with these white people. Our people did something wrong. They did something wrong back there. And it's the reason why we are suffering for it. And we don't worth anything unless we come to a knowledge about who we are and what the truth is, and begin to live the right way. But apart from that, there is no heaven to go. There is no nothing like what the Bible have in there talking about, right? But we have a life to live, and we know we don't live all that long, right? But we have spirit inside of us that, according to what I read, there is a place there, some beyond, you know, this physical dimension that our spirit goes. So, my friend, let me go on and read some more of this here. The primates, human, have evolved. There is no book like what they have as the Bible telling about in the Garden of Eden and make it seem like white people and us are created by the same God. Lie. Lie. Okay? So they want to cover up the fact that they were mute all along for 3.5 million years, and it is something that they did now, interbreeding with us, that changed the whole thing for them, right? 3.5 million years ago in South Africa, that's where these people developed, right? So they leave now. You see what they're going to do? They're going to leave out of South Africa. 1.5 million years ago, they migrated. This is what the world history textbooks say. You may never see it written like this anyplace else, right? Because these white people are changing up everything that is true, and they think that, oh, nobody's going to come and mess with what them put down, which is moving out of the way, and they come and take charge over the world, and we don't have any governmental backing, none whatsoever, right? Because they have the political authority now to do anything from planet Earth. But if we get off with the knowledge and blow them away, we will be right back into our kingship government. That's where we belong, to rule over ourselves. Our government is not gone anywhere. It is right here. It is for us to take charge. Okay? It is for us to do that. But we can't do it unless we come with the truth and knock these guys out of, you know, out into the ocean out there somewhere. Unless we are able to do that, we are not able to resume the function of our kingship government that the gods leave here for us with every single thing that is here. These sodomites have taken away from our access. Okay? Now, so 1.5 million years ago, they migrated into Europe. Yes, where they have settled until this day. You see? But as you can see, things change. Whilst they were in Europe 1.5 million years ago, my friend, the rest of the story sums up their ambushed and forced crossbreed our ancestors that then inculcated our Texan blood system. Right? They inculcated our Texan blood system. That's with no foolishness. 100,000 years ago, that's what happened. They brought forth curse, newborn babies, not nurtured them into adults. The Cro-Magnon European, we see them here today. They look like us, speak like us. And though they come from our wise sapien species, we wise sapiens sapiens come directly from the wise sapiens species, right? So we belong to the wise sapiens species. And we as the subgroups are wise sapiens sapiens. That process used our hybrid blood to bring unintended close match man, like our DNA cognition. They become tyrants throughout annals and challenge our people, challenge our people's existence. Do so at measure, unthinkable, frivolous methods and tricks. The imperial colonialism swag subtly they maneuvered in creative ways to silence our African government, place themselves as the only church political rule. The Adi Anadamani in the year of the Lord, 509 BC, overthrow our Roman king in Rome City, Italy. It makes the beginning of the end of our kingship. Yes, it marks the beginning of the end of our kingship government, political and social and societal defender, right? We don't have a legal defender, and you have to be under what these sodomite AD Anadamani, which is, you know, it's not legitimate stuff we're talking about. And they are using it over us, and we are here dumb, not unable to represent ourselves, you know? If you should go into a court of law in America today for any reason and you tell the judge that they have no jurisdiction over you and cite the government in the World History Textbook that is the only civilized law, African people, they will have to close that court because you are citing a greater power than what they don't have no power, really. But it is for us to know the knowledge. You see what I mean? And life will be back to where it was for us. But now we are underneath them. They're going to send police and all this kind of stuff and kill you and all that kind of stuff. And nothing will come of it. But I tell you something. If they know that you are harmed and dangerous like that, they stay away from you. Now, so it goes on. Just a fake, he says what? It all happened when Africans sold us out. He says, expose us to exactly this kind of world we suffer today. You see what I mean? When we have our kingship government to defend us. It shall happen. Now, it all happened when American sold us out to the Cro-Magnon superpower by the oaks of AD Anadamani bureaucracy. Just fake government
that emulate our kingship divine solar calendar establishment. Only for civilized hybrid ethnic people. Our present status is one. You may have some wealth, but the ape hominid European rule actually owns every square inch of land above our ownership. We are worth opening up our inner eye, and that is written by Timothy Aldred. I want to thank you for tuning in to the program today and hope that there are people out there who want to hear somebody speak unadulteratedly. Oh, have a poor representation. But you know what? You just want to get direction. If you can get direction, it doesn't matter. As long as you understand the direction, you go about your business. You see, because somebody's not selling you anything. They're not asking you for anything. And they're speaking from the heart and tell you where they're speaking from. So you don't have to go and trying to remember the person's name or this and that. You want to go to the source. Where is the textbook? Right? And what the Bible is all about. I mean, for somebody to slap the Bible in a way, you can't resurrect the Bible. Well, you must know something is bad in the world and why the world is the way it is. How could Christianity be such a nice thing? And the world is, you know, I mean, people, these white people with the law is going to kill the Japanese, Nagasaki, Hiroshima. And it behaved like nothing happened, man. Nobody remember these Indians or they dropped the bomb. And who dropped the bomb? These sodomites, primates that we have here hugging up with their church and washing and Jesus and washing the Lord's feet and on the Holy Communion and all this kind of stuff. And all of those things are rubbish. So if you can read and examine these things and decide that, you know what? It's knowledge that counts. When they say in the Bible that Jesus, in the New Testament, that Jesus, you know, I mean, was predestined before the foundation of the world. And you see all over the New Testament, they're telling you that Jesus was predestined before time, before they created the world. They are telling you that this Jesus in controversy that was a black man 2,000 years ago and today he's a white man. This Jesus, they are telling you, was begotten by God before the foundation of the world. And nothing don't go like that. Not even dust of it. Right? So, the point is, when a lot of people hear these things, they can't stand it. They can't believe that it is true. Believe, you know. They won't say, let me push my knowledge and see if anything go like that. My friends, I don't have not one moment to waste. It means that anything I say to anybody, they have access to me right here. And I always give the number 347-850-1358. And if these Black Talk Radio folks, if they don't cut off the mic today, this is good lesson for people who want it. But you know how many times they cut my mic off? They have the electronical
technology to cut off my mic, and they do it about some 20-something times. You see? I mean, last week, they did it like about twice. You see what I mean? So there is a force that is working against you. But look, I am not afraid to work against them, right? I am not one of those people that they kill. I'm not one of them. Because I know just about all of those people that stand up for the African people's rights, but they don't know what to say. They're talking a lot of things. They're complaining and saying a lot of things, and they're saying some things that are good, but those things are repeated and similar over the years, and they don't do nothing for us. It means that you never hear one of them say, stop, go to church. You don't hear nobody defend African people. They're all church believers. And so I want to read a little of our history now, okay, to see the kind of atmosphere and the kind of knowledge that we have that because of the church, we alienate from it. But lately, you know, I am going to be one that want to tell about who we are and what we are about. Let them, you know, I mean, look, you know, I'm standing up to it. You know, see what I mean? All right, so I'm going to read some of this. Comes from, as a matter of fact, I've been telling people to get this link, right, from a group of scientists that are good representatives of African ethnic people, of polytheism, religion. These scientists, they are good representatives. And they are complaining about these white people who are trying to block them because they are fraternity, they are government, and all this kind of stuff, and they're using all this stuff. But anytime they face up with some force that they can handle, well, let's see what's going to happen then. Because the word of truth is far different from people talking foolishness. And where it will go may not be imaginable. But the truth, nobody can stop. No truth. Like, I am here right now. You bring Biden, Trump, Obama, the whole of them. None of them can come here and defeat me using the World History Textbook and other prehistory textbook. None of them can touch it. Look at what them have. Them have something called AD and Adamani. Where that come from? They can't say civilized because they have to recognize what is worldwide civilized history. They have to, but when they are dealing with us out in the street here who don't know nothing, they can tear down everything. But any day they come upon one force, one person, I mean, with the force, even one, it don't have to be one, but even one person with the right force, they will the road jack. And that's not a joke. It's just like if you threaten somebody that you're going to kill them, right? They take that serious. They take that serious. You, somebody threatening they're going to kill you, you got to take that serious too, right? Because what if they mean it? What do you have to fend yourself on? You know, so what I'm saying to you, I fear no foe. Because guess what? If you say A, I say B, and you can't go to C, you dead. You dead. And look, I come to read and come to understand, I don't see anybody that stand up in my way yet. Okay? So bits and pieces of what I'm saying, any little piece of what gets from you, you just go and try to find out, is it real knowledge he's talking? Or is fooling around? All right, you check it out. All right, here we have these scientists in South Africa who go over to into South Africa. Yes, South Africa, and do a research over there as to a big everlasting place over in South Africa, where the gods that came to Earth, that established everything on the Earth here that we have, they're the ones that brought heroines, okay? And bring them to Earth after the flood and clean up and set the Earth to where it's livable, okay? And that place called Kish in Mesopotamia is the first city to establish kingship, rule, after the flood. Kish, that city called Kish. Now, my friend, we have the truth here, but these white people, them, make up the Bible and decide to set up a new world order, and nobody on our side raise up to counteract. And these Indians that were in America here, like up to like about what, 12 million of them, been in Africa, been in America. Some 30,000 years before these hungry, lustful, sodomite primates, hominids, came to America. How long ago that? About 457 years ago that they come to America. But how have people been here prior to that? Some 30,000 years. Once we came out of Africa, although they are among those whose brain, got injured by the crossbreeding that these sodomites do to our ancestors. That's the reason why the Indians fail to chase out these white people. You see what I mean? And they realize that we are not the people we used to be. They know this is what they are working off today. But anytime they find one of us, even one of us, it shouldn't be one, but if even one of us really find it out and begin to talk what it is, they got to go. Because you're not going to ask them. You're going to tell all of them to leave. Because guess what? I'm looking into the history record and see the reason why the gods created us. Remember, these white people were there in Europe before we were created. 1.5 million years ago, they've been up there. And we are created 200,000 years ago. So what I'm trying to tell you, these people are nothing, for us to like chase out. But they have our support. When we go to church and baptize and everything they do, we are into the what they put, and that's what we believe. We don't have the knowledge about where we are supposed to be about. So this is what is going on now. Like I'm saying, even one person, you ain't going to go nowhere. You're going to sack it to them, and they will have to fight the tide and the wind that is fierce and blow them away. That's what the truth will do. All right. So let me read some of this now and tell you a few paragraphs of what they have written about South Africa, okay? They talk about the problem that they're having with these, sodomite fraternity. Because they go on like, they think that they are ruling the world right now, these white people. You see what I mean? So it's not until the gods are going to do something about it. Look, it was not a easy thing to create us on this earth because they create us as primitive worker, right? That shows it was the reason why. We read that in the Bible. And when we going to think that the Bible is a place to take us to heaven, you find out, even in a Genesis, it is telling you that God did not make people for anything else but to work. He put them in a garden for what? All right? So I'm trying to show you now there's a heck of a lot of things there for us to discover, kill the belief that we have. So what I'm saying now that these guys, go and do these phenomenal type of research and put out the link about 9 or so years ago. Okay? I think October 6th in, I think it's 2011 or something like that. When they, yeah, it is, yeah, I think it is, let's see, October 2012, October 6th, that was when they put this link out, okay? So it is an elaborate thing that they did. And I remember I was trying to share this link on Facebook. If it is not Facebook, it is LinkedIn. And they wouldn't allow it to be shared because it is African ethnic people stuff. They don't want to broadcast anything about us. But let me tell you something. You know, nobody will confront me about this. Because clearly, they listen to me and they don't make like an illegal move or any like hush, hush, nothing. Because Twitter already in trouble with me because they fail to process my appeal. Going into 4 years now, okay? So there is nothing that I'm saying that I'm to be afraid of saying because they don't, they are criminal here on our turf. Every turf that they come and interfere with us, they need to be prosecuted by our government system because they don't have a government system at all. You know what I mean? It's because they think we turn fool and they're running risk with what they're doing. I don't know where Africa is gone and stuff like that, but they turn idiot, right? I'm lucky to be here with a little of my faculty, but most of us, you know, I mean, we're not going to come after nothing. All right, so it goes on. There will be a remnant of us. There will be a remnant. Some is going to wake up. Like, I just wake up, right? I am woken up. I have woke up. Now, I'm going to try to see if I can read some of this. As you know, I don't read all that good, but I'm going to try and see what I can get out of this here. And I appreciate your patience. So you can get this link. It is a very important link. Time anybody wants this link. And you stop by here, I try to keep it into the chat room. If it's you don't see here in the chat, see it here in the chat room, then you just tell me and I'll just drop it in there quick. It's always available to me. All right. So now, who made the metropolis. Why? Talking about the metropolis, we're in South Africa, where we were created, 150 miles inland, South Africa. That's where the place is. And as big as twice the size of Texas State. It's a big place, right? And road like 100 miles long back there where the gods, the civilized people, work here on Earth. And they were tired of, because they spent a mighty long time. And they were tired of doing the work, and they strike, and they had to make other provisions. And it's the reason we are, that's why they created us, okay, to work. It wasn't their plan to create us. It was not some other thing why they created us, like they just want to put us here on her to worship them or nothing like that. It was not like that, okay? So let's go on and read some of this portion. It's not the beginning, but you can pick up some little energy from this, I think. All right? So he says, who made the metropolis? Why? It would seem that humans have always valued gold. It is even mentioned in the Bible. Now, you hear that? The Bible is the greatest thing on earth, right? But it is not. It is not. But you don't find anybody around really that put the Bible down. I mean, I must be the first person I know put the Bible down. I don't recall anybody, I hear anybody put the Bible down. But I read it and I find out something wrong with it. I'm not waiting for somebody else to say. I'm saying it because I prove it, and nobody is able to knock me down. They only think I am ridiculous, but they believe so. If they don't have knowledge that I am ridiculous, they have a belief. They need to get knowledge, and they will find out this guy is far from being, you know, confused or anything like that. All right? So it goes on. Yes, it's even mentioned in the Bible, describing the Garden of Eden's rivers. Genesis 2:11. You see, these are not something that anybody should read. Anybody with good, intelligent knowledge will not read these things unless some other, you know, unimportant reason. You know, you could read the Bible for any reason, right? But as far as reading it for reality, no. No. You don't read the Bible for, you know, like a structural form of life. No, because they're not telling you the truth about 7-day God rest. Work and rest on the seventh day and all this kind of, those things are not true. And they get the seventh day from the gods that came to earth. What they are writing in the Bible, they get it from our history. All right. So let me go on and tell you some more now about, they talk about Genesis 2:11. The name of the first river is Pison. Now, is Pison. It flows around the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. You see, they don't know the reason why that place has gold, because Earth comes from the Nibiru planet. It was severed from that planet and became Earth with the moon. All right? So now it tells you that the name of the first river is Pison, it flows around the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. South Africa is known as the largest gold producing country of the world. The largest gold producing area of the world. And there's a reason for that. There's a reason for that. Why gold is so much at that spot. Yes. Yes. The largest gold producing area of the world is with water sand or water rand. This is a cute word. WITWATERSRAND. So it is with water. Is with water. Is with water. Waters rand. RAND. With water rand. The same region where the ancient metropolis is found. In fact, nearly Johannesburg, nearby Johannesburg, one of the best known cities in South Africa is also named Egoli, which means the city of gold. You see, people are not to fool around Africa, but now it's gone to the dogs. Gold mining. That's what the gods came to earth to do, is to mine gold to repair their atmosphere on their planet, Nibiru, right? They were having serious problem, and why it was urgent for them to create mankind to take the place of those workers they had and make us specially, because there was a contemplation whether or not could really produce a creature who intelligent enough to make tools and to do things. And the creator, one of the leaders and commander of the group doing this mission, he was confident that it could do it. And that's the way we come about. Now, to get these white people do something to us that they get our blood and start talking, you know, we need to know that we are in serious trouble. Okay? Now, so it goes on to say, in fact, nearby Johannesburg, one of the best known cities in South Africa, is also named Egoli, which means the city of gold. Gold mining. How long ago is there evidence that mining took place in South Africa during the Old Stone Age? Archaeological studies indicate that it indeed was so. By the first civilized, beings ever on Earth, realizing that sites of abandoned ancient mines may indicate where gold could be found. South Africa's leading mining corporation, the Anglo-American Corporation, listen to this, in the 1970s, engaged archaeologists to look for such ancient mines. You hear that? Published report Optima detail the discovery in Switzerland and other sites in South Africa of extensive mining area with shaft to depth of 50 feet. Objects and charcoal remains established date 35,000 to 46,000 and 60,000 BC. For these sites, the archaeologists and anthropologists who joined in dating the finds believed yes. It says where we are. Yes. It says yes. Who joined the dating, the finds believed mining technology was used in South Africa. Earn Africa during much of the period subsequent to 100,000 BC. In September 1988, the team international psychiatrist came to South Africa to verify the age of human habitats in Switzerland and Zululand. The most modern techniques indicated age of 80,000 to 115,000 years regarding the most ancient gold mines of Manotapa in southern Zimbabwe. Zulu legends hold that they were officially produced flesh and blood slaves created by first people. Really? All right. Well, that's about what I have to say. You know, it struggled me to try to read this and stuff like that. Fine prints and beside that, I don't read too all fluent, but I hope that something gotten over to you from this, that I have the link for this, that, you know, next time you read these things, and there's a lot of information here and pictures, if you get the link, you know, and I'll make the link available to anybody who wants it, right? It's a lot. And the most important information that we can read of reality that we never knew. So I want to thank you. I thank my visitor here. Healer Medium. I thank you, Healer Medium, for coming by and spend all this time with me. I really appreciate that. And I hope you will come back. I hope you come back and spend some time, like, you know, in the studio. We can talk and do, if you are up to this. 347-850-1358. It's the number that you can come into the studio anytime and be my guest. So, my friends, this is coming to the ending, and all I'm going to do is, like, play a couple more tunes, which I think is, you know, soothing and refreshing, and hopefully we'll have another session together.
As I lay me down, heaven hear me now, I'm lost without a cause, after giving it my all. Winter storms have come, and darkened my sun, after all that I've been through, who on earth can I turn to? I look to you. Searching for that open door.